morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 25. Psalms 25 and verse 14. I've been talking about mental health, really. Fear, not being offended. And last week we talked about loss, the losses. And today I want to talk about discouragement. When we were going through some things last week in our state here, we thought, oh no, is the governor going to call 30 more days of stay at home? And my son, who's very easygoing and laid back, never complains, even when he broke his foot, broke his nose, all these things. I could hear it in his voice. He was very, very, very discouraged if that went continued. And I was just like, oh man, the people feel so depressed. Everybody in the world right now is being told what to do. And it kind of laid it on my heart to deal with discouragement as things change, as we're dealing with the news. One cause of discouragement is the news. News. You get news and you get discouraged. And so sometimes you got to shut it off. Just shut it off. Everything now is going to be, from this point on, this is why I said the beginning of sorrows, if you have not listened to that, I believe we're in a season of sorrows, that some of these things are going to lift for a season and come back. And we have to be able to know how to handle it. So in Psalms 25, we're going to look at the secret of the Lord, verse 14, is with them that fear him. And I was thinking about how when you walk with the Lord, he gives you warnings. And sometimes he'll give you a warning for a friend. Or sometimes a friend will come to you and warn you. And I remember when the whole 9/11 thing happened, and some friends of mine wanted to go to Canada. And I just had a feeling, and I just said, I just don't know why. You know how you get that check? You just like, I don't, it's like not a green light. It's like a, don't go there. And I just said, I never tell people what to do, but if I do have a warning, I'll just say, boy, are you sure you really prayed about that? You're not, that you're supposed to go. And they were like, well, you know, they kind of pushed through it. They didn't really want to go, but they felt like they needed to. They'd made reservations. Well, that was the weekend. That was the whole thing of the 9/11. And they could not get back. It took them weeks to get back. In similar times, people have offered us vacations, and I really wanted to go. We haven't had a vacation, or I haven't had a break from preaching for, what, over 3 years or something? I really wanted to, and some people, two sets of people, wanted to give us a vacation and send us to places, and I wanted to go. And it was like the Lord said, don't go, don't go. And this is when this whole thing started to break out. So sometimes when your flesh wants to go one way, but you got to listen. And the secrets of the Lord, he's going to show us things to come. He's going to show us as these days go forward. We have to really have a relationship with him and not be religious, but have a relationship with him so that he can lead you. He can guide us. And we're all learning to listen. And one of the things we've got to deal with is discouragement. Discouragement is the dis, you're not courageous anymore. Something's happened, change. There's so many things going on in our world today. We have to know how to deal with it. And the Bible's full of examples of people that were discouraged. And we've come out of a movement that you couldn't admit anything. Don't face reality. You're on top and rising. You're never defeated. Well, that's not even scriptural, because we all have emotions we have to deal with, and we have to face dark times. We're in some seasons, so we have to know that everything that's in the Bible, Romans 15:4, tells us it was written for our edification. It's to teach us. All the things in the Bible are to teach us so that we can have endurance. And this is a thing we got to learn, to endure to the end. We have to learn how to endure to the end. Not living in a spirit of fear, not living in a spirit of offense, how to deal with losses when things are changing. Even how to sit down and eat with people in restaurants. They're telling such bad news. Oh, you know, back in the 2020, that was the day that you stopped hugging. I was like, that is so sad. I just like that, those kind of comments. I mean, it's just like, but people are preparing for this in the future, and you can see laws being changed, right? So this is something we have to deal with, and David dealt with it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and we fear the Lord. He's going to carry us through. He's always carried his people through, and he's going to carry us through, but we have to know how to deal with it. We can't just live in denial that we aren't experiencing it, but we know we need to talk to people of like minds to be encouraged as the day approaches. The Bible tells us to assemble, tells us to get together because we sharpen each other. And it's so sad when people are all by themselves. They have no one to talk to. This is very sad. The lady that I grew up with, she was we always called her my second mom. She lived right next door to us in Brainerd, and he was a sheriff of Crow Wing County. She baked us bread, and she's still living, and she's probably 89 right now. And I saw her online through a glass looking at all of her grandbabies. She couldn't hold them, and she couldn't touch them, and it just broke my heart. I was just like, this is so sad. And then my relatives their grandpa was 90 years old, my in-laws, and they couldn't have a party for him. So they had to drive by and wave. And we're all experiencing these kinds that are, wow, changing times. And so we have to not get discouraged, even though we are tempted, and there's days you're going to feel, what's wrong with me? It's just like, it's boredom. You can't go to work. You can't go to church. You can't do things. These are real issues. You lost your job. How do we deal with it? How do we sort it out? How do we listen to the mainstream media that just pounds this day in, day out? There is a knob that says off. Sometimes you just got to shut that off. You're being conditioned. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet pluck my feet out of the net. And it always talks about a net in the Bible, and that's a trap. And remember, it's the wicked against the righteous. And they're always trying to plan, and they were born wicked. Some of the scriptures said, out of their womb they've told lies. I was like, wow, it's so sad to know there are those kind of people around. And they have always been around. So he said, help me, pluck my feet out of the net. And then he said, for I am desolate and I'm afflicted. Well, desolate means to feel deserted. A lot of people feel deserted. God, where are you? I'm in this situation, I'm in this place right now, I feel deserted. That word desolate also means there's no relationships. How many people are going through things right now where they haven't seen their grandbabies? I talked to someone that has 12 grandchildren and hasn't even held their grandbabies since all this has happened. This is hard. This is really a hard time that everyone's in. They feel desolate, it means neglected. It's a season. It's like a wilderness that a people are going through. And then he said he feels afflicted. For I am desolate and I am afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distress. Or you could say trouble. Lord, bring us out of this trouble. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Now today, if you speak truth, they call it hate speech. And also, if you're trying to figure things out, everything's a conspiracy. I saw that coming right away when they started saying, don't call this. Well, the Bible says in Acts there, they were conspiring against Paul. They conspired against Jesus. Now, there's some flakes out there, but there's also truth. And this is what's really hard. If you don't have discernment to know and you haven't studied along some of these lines of what's coming, you know, you can fall for anything and get fearful, and we can't go that route. We can't fall off a cliff. We got to stay balanced, right? Right down the middle of the road. So look upon my affliction and my pain. He's admitting, and there's times you got to go to God and just say, I'm in pain. This hurts. Cry, get a release. Then all of a sudden you feel strengthened. You feel like you can go on again, right? And forgive all of my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait upon the Lord. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. And another translation says, for I'm helpless, I'm overwhelmed, I'm in distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Wow. And maybe you're not going through anything right now, but I know you know someone that is, because people are losing their jobs. People don't know how one guy that had a business, I think they're opening up tomorrow, he said, I'm limping to my funeral. The restaurants are limping to their funerals because they're only letting them go half capacity and all that. It's so hard in the restaurant business anyway. But here we are. So my problems go from bad to worse. And hope deferred, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit, makes the heart sick. we have to get hope. We have to find hope. We have to find good fellowship with people. We have to see light somewhere. Because otherwise, if you just sit and plug yourself into the media, and especially this is an election year, it's going to get really dirty politics. Politicians have never been the greatest. We were watching something from 1972, the Match Game. All these shows that are on now, they're reruns. I'm getting so tired of these old reruns, but they said something about the worst people in the world, and they all had to match. It was the politicians. They have never been in a good light. Politicians and lawyers were the main two things. So, wow, the hope deferred makes the heart sick. And what happens when you don't have hope, you get discouraged. Now, we're going to have to guard our hearts from discouragement in this hour and be thankful. When we lose our thankful heart, things happen because we start seeing the things we lost, but we forget to thank God for what's left. And so if we stay thankful, all of a sudden we start seeing more to be thankful and we start seeing more to be thankful. But if you just get discouraged and the lights go out, then all you can see around you is darkness and more darkness. And then you actually start living in a spirit of fear. God does not want us to live in a spirit of fear. Fear is going to attack us all. The more you hear stuff, I heard some stuff today that's happening in New Zealand and laws that they're passing. And it's just like, whoa, you have no more privacy. You don't have no more freedom. People are being tracked and traced. And, you know, the things with the children. These are scary times. So we have to put our trust where? In the Lord. We have to keep putting our trust in the Lord and rebuke that spirit of fear because it wants to torment. It wants to bring things way out there right here, right now. So there's some things you just can't listen to right now. We all have to guard our hearts. But then there are some things, on the other hand, you need to prepare for. And this is where we have the Lord to show us what you need to prepare for. Some of you have prepared for some of these times. You knew these times were coming. Other people, this is brand new. They are shocked. They're just like, wow, I didn't see this coming. So everyone's at a different place. And we have to love everybody where they're at. And we're purposing in all of us. We're not going to be offended. Because you have a different opinion. This is what they want. They want us divided. They want us mad at each other and offended. And the Bible says, those that love thy law, nothing shall offend us. So even when your husband or wife gets flaky and they, whatever, you're not going to offend me. You got to forgive them fresh and new every day. So anyway, discouraged means it's you lose your courage. And when Gideon, when God said he wanted to fight with the warriors, he said, all you that are fearful, go home. And really, that's what the people that are fearful should stay home. But those that aren't should get about your life. You've got to learn to live your life. What if these are the good times? What if this is the best of times? You know, so be thankful. Every day we've got to live our life because the game is not over. Our life is not over. This is not the end. It's just the beginning of sorrows. People think it's the end. No, it isn't. This is just the beginning. So to be discouraged, it implies the loss of courage. What is courage? It's that mental strength that enables you to persevere. And when fear comes, some days you can just flick it off really easy. Why? Because you've been encouraged in the Lord. So when those bad reports come, but if you don't ever get strong in the Lord and you just keep hearing bad, 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 what about this? What about that? This person's job. What if I die tomorrow? What if you just flood yourself with all this evil and torment? You're going to be so depressed. And your spark's gone. You don't want to get up. You don't want to do anything. Your desire to live goes. People are committing suicide right now more than they ever have. It's not being recorded. Some things are being recorded. Everything's one thing. But other things are not even being reported on how people are really dealing with loss and their jobs and their family and, you know, different things. And if you're not strong in the Lord, I don't know how these people are going to make it in these end times without God. Because he's our strength. He is our refuge in these times. So hope deferred, that means you don't get what you want right away. So we're believing for things, but it doesn't happen right away. So what if we have to wait longer? Hope deferred. And nobody likes to wait. Waiting, you feel neglected. If you're sitting in an office waiting for somebody and they don't come and they don't come and it's an hour later, if you're waiting on a doctor or something for an appointment, boy, you just, you know, you get annoyed. It's like, well, my time's special too. Is that, you know, sometimes doctors are really late. And other ones you've met that they know the power of time. It's like, I'm not going to mess up your time and we're on schedule. And But when you're waiting for something and you're praying for something and it doesn't happen and you're praying for your kids to get saved and you want to see this happen and you want and it doesn't come, you get discouraged. So how do you deal with that? How do we all deal with some of the things that we're hearing about? It makes you sick. So nobody likes to wait. So hope deferred means to put off. Your hope is being put off. Your answer is not being seen right now. The process is being dragged out. These poor restaurant owners, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting to open. They thought it would just be a couple weeks, and now it's turned into months. And now all the rules have changed. This is hard. This is real life for many people around the globe. This is global right now. It's long-term battles. When you're in a battle and it's hope deferred, it's a long-time battle, you get discouraged. You thought, well, I thought this would be over by now. I didn't think I'd have to wait this long for this answer. So then these times that no one talks about, the point between when you pray and then when you receive it, there's a long period of time, many times. And then you can get sick. You can get mentally tired. You can actually worry yourself sick. And the Bible says many people are going to fear the things that are coming on the earth. They're just going to die from the fear. We talked about that before. So what happens, these battles, things keep getting postponed and hope is crushed. So we have to watch out when our hope starts getting crushed. And I know there's been times and I thought, I'm not going to see my granddaughter or I'm not going to see my son. And you can feel that. You're just like, am I going to see my church friends? When am I going to be able? These are real times that we're all dealing with. And hope is crushed and it leads to depression, anxiety, and actual sickness. Also, dashed hopes of long stretches with no improvement or changes. I don't see any change. We're under a governor right now it looks like he's going to kick this can down the road. You know, other states are opening up and we're not. And I don't see any improvement. What's going to happen to the churches? What's going to happen to our large gatherings? Are we going to be able to gather again? And it makes people discouraged, especially people that are extroverts. You introverts, you don't care if you stay home. You're just like, my life hasn't changed. But there are a lot of people that life has changed terribly. So people are struggling emotionally, financially, spiritually, and this is globally. And you're going to hear everything now. Everything's about your safety. Everything is going to be about your safety. They say as more and more freedoms we're seeing are being taken away. So hope deferred, put off, or delayed brings in a weariness. And a weariness is a vexation of the mind. It's a blurred, burnt out, or frazzled feeling. And we're all going to face times as, you know, times go into the Antichrist system. There's going to be times we've got to know how I have to deal with my mental health. I have to deal with my thoughts. I have to be careful what I'm listening to. There's days you should just not listen to anything. And like sometimes the virus is a TV. Shut it off. It just totally bombards you with stuff and no hope of ever any change. And this is going to be the way we're going to live. You just have to get a break. You have to give yourself a break. News will make you depressed. So you have to be careful. I was talking to a couple of people and they go, I just can't. And they're not even Christians. They go, I can't take this. I'm bombarded day and night. So people are changing their schedules. They're just like, I'm not listening to the news anymore. It's just too discouraging. And that's okay. Shut it off. Then many are discouraged because they've lost the courage. They can't see an answer. And they just feel zapped. They feel zapped of strength. They've been in battle fatigue. You know, when you're fighting something and you're standing for something and you just get tired. We're going to talk about that. What happens? You lose your motivation. Your spark, you feel like bailing and throwing in the towel, but you can't. So I'm here to tell you today, you cannot throw in the towel. You cannot give up because the game is not over. Amen? Your grandchildren, your kids, your friends, your neighbors, whoever you are, they still need you. You are still needed. The game is not over and you can't quit, just so you know. And there's too many problems at all at one time. You feel like the country singer. He lost his girlfriend, his job, his dog died, and his truck won't start. backwards, and he gets it all back. So basically, we all have issues. All that to say, everybody's dealing with something. There's nobody that is not dealing with an issue or a problem, either your health, your job, what's coming, you know, I'm not going to go into any more of this. We all know what's going on with different things. But in Numbers 21:4, this was on, the Israelites were on their way to Canaan, and they wanted to cut through the land of Edom. And that was a direct route. They could just go there. They could go right through there, and it would be a lot quicker. Well, the direct route was closed due to a selfish king. Do you want to turn there? Okay. In Numbers 20, verse 14, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom, and they wanted to go through their land. And verse 17, he said, "Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right or to the left until we have passed thy borders." And Edom, the selfish king, said, "Thou shalt not pass by me." There was no reason why he shouldn't have let them pass through. It was a direct route. It would have saved him a lot of time, a lot of energy, health, all these different things. And he said, "No, you can't. And if you do, I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to surround my borders with people with swords." What a jerk. And he said, "Thou shalt not go through." And have you ever had a jerk in your life? People that, you know, if they just said yes. I mean, it's so easy for them to say yes. They have the power to say yes, but they're just that way. So what happened? They had to do a detour. So when we go through life and we have detours, it's discouraging because you have to go the long route. And this is how we kind of feel today. It's like there's so many things we could see could be a direct route. We could have that answer. We could fix this. Why are we going through all these other things? And these, someone told me there's a new law that's passed. They want to pass it. 200 pages. And most of it is just agendas, but it's a cover for what's going on, that a lot of things are happening, a lot of agendas are happening. Wow, that's discouraging. Why can't we just deal with the problem and figure out a real way to fix some things? You know what I'm saying? So they got discouraged, it says in Numbers 21:4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people... The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The way. They had to go through a mountain plain. They had to go through loose gravel. They had to go through rocks and all that stuff where they could have just had a direct route and been there. But oh no, and Edom is the type of the devil here. You know, he's still here. One day we're going to all laugh and say, "And he's the one caused all the trouble on the earth? He had such a big roar." You know, but we're still dealing with it. But they were much discouraged because of the way. If you're fighting discouragement, I want you to be encouraged today. Because everybody goes through times of discouragement when hard times are there. And they started complaining about their light bread. And this is the other thing. God provided for them, but they weren't thankful. So we got to stay. Being thankful is a key of coming out of discouragement. Because you can start feeling sorry for yourself. We all can. And we start, it makes it harder and harder and harder. But if we're thankful, we're just giving God praise that, "Thank you, Lord, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. You didn't teach us to swim, to let us drown. You didn't build your home in us to move away. Thank you, Lord, you've brought us through. You're providing. God's providing." We have testimonies of how God is blessing us in these hard times. So we have to keep a thankful heart. But they got discouraged because of the way, because they had to go through this long path, and they had to go through change. And that's the other thing we don't like. Nobody likes it. It's change. Change can cause weariness because each set of changes, you lose your job, now you're going to have a loss. You are used to going to see your grandmother. Now things are changed. You can't see her right now. It brings a whole set of losses with it. And we have to deal with that. We can't just say, "Oh, I'm just blessed and I'm fake." You got to really deal with what's going on. You can't fake it. God knows he said, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be with us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. So change can cause this weariness, and it brings about losses in our life. And we get weary because it seems like nothing's staying the same. You just get used to something, and then all of a sudden, the next day it's changed. We've never had this before in our country, that everything, not just our country, but other countries, where things are changing, and on and on and on. So you get battle fatigue. 2 Samuel 23:10, Eliezer, he was one of David's mighty men. He arose and struck down the Philistines. He kept on, he was in battle and battle and battle. He kept on killing the enemy. And what happened? He was weary until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. He couldn't even get that sword out. He fought so much. And that's kind of what happens with our mind when well, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to go to the grocery store? Now it's stressful just to go see people. Do you have to do this? Do you have to do that? What new rule are they going to? It's stress. It's hard. Sometimes it's easier just not to deal with people, right? Well, you get weary in the battle. Everybody has a time of weariness in the battle. That's why we need each other. We need friends right now more than we ever have. You need the body of Christ. Exodus 17:12 says, Moses' hands were heavy and they grew weary. It's hard for me preaching to two people. I need something. It's like, hello. So Mark turned up the sound to make it sound like more. But you need feedback. You need help. So Moses and Aaron, or Moses' hands were heavy, and Aaron and her, what did they do? Just held up their arms. Sometimes it's just good to have your friends come by just to encourage you. It's just, you didn't even know you needed it. You didn't even know you needed it until they gave it to you, right? Discouragement. Here's a true story, and I want to encourage you with this. In 1930, in a Rose Bowl football game, Royal Regals of the USC picked up a Georgia fumble. But in the excitement, he went towards his own goal line. His own teammates had to tackle him. How embarrassing. You get a fumble, you go the wrong way. So at halftime, the coach said, the same men who played the first half will start the second half. And Roy said, nope, I can't do it. I can't face that crowd. He was so ashamed. I can't face that crowd. And the coach said, go out. The game is not over. And we have to say that to all of us today. The game is not over. Even though we've lost some things, we have lost some things. Be honest, we've lost gatherings. Will church ever be the same as far as the big churches, the big football, the big... I don't see that for a long time because of what I know that's with the laws that are coming. But we can't be discouraged by that. We gotta say, okay, we're going to have lost, but what do we have left? We are the church. They can take away all the buildings they want. In the Bible, they met in homes. There never was big buildings. And I remember a couple years ago when we got out of renting, and it was like the Lord just shut that door. And wow, I see now why. Sometimes we don't even know we're being led. We're being led by the Lord, and we don't know why. And he's teaching us. He's taking care of us. He's showing us there's things coming. Prepare for this, prepare for that. Why? We still live in the world system. And sometimes we thought, as Christians, we owned the world. This is your best life now. What happened to all those preachers? I don't see them around so much now. People are discouraged. But if you were following with us, we got out of religion. And we have a relationship with the Lord. We aren't into these little sayings and these little things. We have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. He didn't promise us there wouldn't be any trouble. He didn't promise there wasn't going to be any pain. That was lies. That was from the false prophets. They always lie. They always tell you this and that and the other. Why? Because they don't want you to follow the Lord. Because he said it's going to be hard times. Pick up your cross. A cross is a symbol of death. It's not just a symbol of prosperity. Oh, yay. Pick up your gold coin and follow me. No, it's a cross. It's a symbol of death. That means that following him, if they hated him, they're going to hate you, right? So anyway, I loved what he said. The halftime, he said, go out, the game is not over. And I have to tell all of us, if we're discouraged, like David, like the children of Israel, they went through time and time and time and trials and things happen, the game isn't over. God's not through with you yet. Your kids need you. Your grandchildren need you. They need your prayers. They need your presence. They need your love. And you got to just pick up again. Well, I fumbled. I blew it. I'm walking with the Lord right now. Everybody fumbles the ball. Everybody misses a shot. Everybody does things they shouldn't do. And then you have to give that same grace to your friends. don't be so hard on people right now. Forgive them. Well, they don't believe like I do. Does that really matter in eternity if they're going to wear a mask or not wear a mask? In heaven, are you going to fight over, well, I told you. It doesn't really matter in the scheme of the end times. Find things you can agree on. There's some people I know I can talk about anything with, and then others, and even my relatives, I know we don't talk about that. Relatives, you don't talk about politics. They're just so far right or left, and you know what? That's not an issue right now. Don't make this about politics. I'm going to tell you, it's going to turn into political. This is what's going to happen. We're going to have a real dirty year coming up, because it always is, but nothing like we are going to see, because why? We're in these times right now where they want this division, they want this chaos, because out of chaos, remember, comes all these solutions. But God will prepare us. He's preparing us now. How to be led. What do we see on the horizon? Don't just stick your head in the sand and say, you've got to study to show yourself approved. And God's going to show you, and you're going to have peace and say, you know what? He showed me that. I knew years ago that traveling was going to change. Now I just heard today that it's going to be a four-hour process. We'll see if this is true or not. But they're going to spray you before you go on the flight. You got to get your temperature checked. All these different things are going to happen. And we knew this years ago when we started studying about the New World Order that traveling was going to change. They wanted limited travel. Were they going to bring it in? We had no idea. But we knew something was going to happen. We didn't take that trip, not because we didn't want to. God said, don't go. Something's going to change. Something's going to happen. You be home and take care of your little flock. And that's where my heart was. I want to prepare. I've never studied as long as I did in these last 6 years on this stuff that's coming. And that's why I don't want to preach on it anymore. It wasn't fun for me either. But we prepared. People that have been listening are prepared for not for everything. We did the best we could. But for not to be hooked into a false church. Get your relationship. Bad times are coming. They're telling. They don't believe in bad times. They still won't admit we're in seasons of darkness. But we're not following men. And that's the other thing. Don't follow any man, even though we've quoted from some people, we quoted some of their truth. I can't recommend their books now because I see that they give truth and error. So I'm not recommending anything right now. Just read your Bible. And there's a lot of YouTubes I don't recommend either. But there's things that are going to be factual you're going to have to face. You can't just say everything's a conspiracy because that's a joke too. And that's also what they did in Germany. That's amazing how some of the same things are going on. But I didn't want to get into that. I want to just encourage you in closing. The game is not over, right? In Psalms 84:6, it said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who passing through the valley of Baca. We're passing through. And I remember when this first thing hit and I talked to my son, and I didn't know how much he knew about what was coming. And he knew a lot more than I thought he did. And he goes, we're going through. That's all we're going to do is we're going through. And that's what I say to you. We're going through. We're not here to stop. We're not here to die. We're not here to cry and moan. We're here. We're passing through. And we're going to go with a thankful heart. And people are going to say, why are you so cheerful? You know why? Because we know the Lord. And he's shown us. He's revealed to us some of these things already. We're passing through the valley of Baca. And what do? We make it a well. We make it a time of refreshing. Even though outside and in the news and all these people around are frightened, it's so sad to me to see some of these people that are, they're so afraid they can't live. They're so afraid of everything that they've lost their life. You can't let that spirit of fear come in you. But here they've turned that well into a happier place. That Baca means weeping. It's a difficult, sorrowful place in life. It's a place of adversity and trials. Baca refers to a type of a weeping tree that drips resin or gum-like tears. And so when they would go through that valley, it just looked like it was weeping. And those trees looked like they were weeping, but they went through it. And we're going to go through seasons where we weep. There's going to be grown men are going to weep in these days. It's hard when you have built your whole life a business, and in 2 months it's almost gone. These are really hard times for people that are owning their own businesses and things like that. So we have to know, and I'm closing. Baca refers to that type of that weeping tree. And then the tough times, the valleys of everyday life. We get weary, exhausted from what? continually waiting. How long? When is this going to lift? Can I do this? Can I do that? Are there going to be checkpoints now? Are we going to have to take shots now to buy and sell? All these things are on the horizon, and it's a scary time in the flesh. But on the other hand, we know God told us these things were coming. We just didn't think we'd see it, did we? I'd preach on all this new world order stuff and thought, well, it's coming. I'd sit up at night and study. And I'm like, we're in it. We're in the beginnings of it now. We're in the beginnings of it. And I didn't know what it would look like, but I do know some of the things about the travel. I do know some of the things about the doctors, whole roles of the doctors was going to change. Remember that Dr. Richard Day talked to the Planned Parenthood. He's the head of the Planned Parenthood in the 60s, and he talked to all the doctors. He said, your roles are going to change. You're no longer going to be these doctors that, you live in these great houses and stuff. Your role is changing. And how many see? The role of the doctor is changing. The whole medicine, all of these systems are starting to change. And we have to be ready to be able to do the next thing. God, if you tell me to let go of that, where do you want me to be? Like what you're going through. Where do I work now? That door shut. Where's the open door? Do I need to change? He's going to show us which door to walk through. But we got to seek him. Things are changing. We can't get weary. There's a valley of calamity in Joshua 7:26, the valley of the giants, Joshua 15:8, the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23, in the valleys, Satan wants to break you. But guess what? You're God's. You belong to God. And the game is not over. Amen? The game is not over. It's halftime. The enemy thinks it's the end game. They really think they're off and running into this new world order. And I just pray, God's in control, and he's stopped it before, he's pushed it back. They wanted this in 2000. Do you know that? They've wanted this. They're 20 years behind. They do have a plan. I'm sorry if you don't believe it, but they have a plan and a script, and they have not fulfilled it. Why? But God. God has the last say. But he is going to prepare us, and we're going to walk through that valley, and we thank God for our friends. Don't get offended by people having a difference of opinion. Get off of Facebook. Get off of news. Watch it only as God leads you. Otherwise, you're going to be so frustrated by everybody else's reactions. There's a lot of dumb people in the world. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They're not too smart. They follow the herd. They just... And they don't think for themselves. We got to think and let us know we are amongst the wicked people here. They always have been. David always was fighting against his enemies, and he didn't do anything wrong. And there's people that they haven't done anything wrong. These businesses haven't done anything wrong. People haven't done anything wrong, but they're in a battle. We're in a battle now with an unseen enemy, right? They're calling it the war on the virus. Weird, it's called a war on a virus, isn't it? Kind of strange, some of these terminologies and these military terms that are coming out. But anyway, we are in a place where we have to keep saying the game isn't over. I'm needed. It's not over. I'm not dead. Don't fear death. Remember, God has an appointed time, and the devil can't take you before that time. And everyone said, amen.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.
Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we depend.